Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Join the growing crowd at Mid-Delta Online Auction. Download their app by searching Mid-Delta Auction to bid on tractors, trailers, heavy equipment, golf carts, and more. Download the app today or call Will Jeffcoat at 662-299-2414 for more details for the first Tuesday of every month auction in Greenwood.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Tuesday edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you are with me, as you always are. A little bit of a late start tonight. Got back from Oxford a little bit later than I expected, but had a great time up there. It's always good to be back in Oxford. And man, even though, you know, those of you that live there don't understand how much changes in such a short amount of time. Being there compared to the last time I was there, which wasn't long ago, it's different and it's growing and it looks great. And the vibes were really good around town. Drove around campus. There's just construction projects everywhere, but everything's looking nice and good. And people are excited about this football team, and they should be. Tonight's show is my, as promised, interview with Pete Golding, aired on Sports Talk Mississippi today as part of our Not Fall Camp tour, of course. A little bit earlier today, I went one-on-one with the Ole Miss head coach. Just a little inside baseball thing. The software that I use will not allow me to play a video that's longer than 10 minutes, but he gave me 16 and a half. So I cut out like the initial pleasantries, and like the video will stop, and then I'll have to play another one. So you might see my face in between parts one and parts two, and that's okay. But that's the only way I was able to do it if I wanted to be live with you guys. So I've got my interview with Pete Golding coming up right here, and I hope you guys enjoy it. If you want to leave a comment, we can read some comments as well. But the main thing is going to be my conversation with Coach Golding. I was about to say Colch. Has it been a long day? Yeah, I think so. So I'm glad you're here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe if you like what you hear. Yeah, leave a rating and a review. Again, wherever you get your podcast, hit that subscribe button. Also, right here on YouTube, if you want to subscribe, leave a like, comment, all that good stuff. I would really appreciate that. This edition of the podcast is presented by Scruggs. Hey, the summer is over for all intents and purposes when it comes to school and stuff like that, but it's still hot, as you know what. And the deals are still hot at Scruggs. If you're looking for America's tractor, the John Deere, or America's lawnmower, the John Deere. They've got 0% varying months, but they've got 0% for you on all of them. The small stuff, the zero turns, all the way up to the compact tractors or five series tractors and everything in between. They are great people at Scruggs. They will take care of you. And they're not just salespeople. There are people that do what you want to do with your yard or your hunting property or your land. They are just like you, and they will take care of you like they have known you their entire life. That's my experience at Scruggs, and you will have the same. Also, home improvement inside of the home, outside of the home, garden, farm, lawn, whatever it is, if you need it, they have got it there. It's worth the trip. I know a lot of you are in North Mississippi. There is no better place in that region of the state to get your yard and property needs taken care of than at Scruggs in Saltillo. When you go, tell them that it was me that sent you there. All right, here it is, part one of my conversation. Again, I cut out the introduction and pleasantries just to make sure the videos fit. But here's part one of my conversation with the Ole Miss head football coach.
Made me laugh. You said that after becoming a head coach, your trips to the grocery store are a little bit different. What is What is something that you didn't expect about being a head coach that you've really enjoyed?
I mean, I think the biggest thing that I've enjoyed the most is like the ability to affect other people's lives. Like, you've always looked at that as a coach for the players and creating opportunities for them and their family. But, you know, for me, from a coaching perspective, it kind of hit home for me when I was able to bring some of these former, you know, Ole Miss Rebels back and what it meant to them and their family to have the opportunity to be able to come back and the impact that it made for them and their kids and all that. And before, I never really looked at it that way. You know, I always looked at it as a job when you bring in a new coach and things like that, because, you know, most of the time it wasn't their alma mater and they hadn't invested so much, you know, in that place over the years. So I've really enjoyed being able to bring people back that want to be here, that are really good at their job, and not only the smile on their face, but more importantly, when their wives and their kids come up here, just the impact that it has on their family, I probably enjoy the most, to be honest with you.
And now you're, I mean, in the dog days of training camp, this is a softball for you. Have you guys accomplished to this point what you were hoping you would as a team?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, obviously when you have 50 new guys, you want to put them in it and, you know, kind of put the fire on them a little bit and see what they got. So I think up to this point, we try to simulate, you know, as much in-game situation things that we possibly can. And some guys have stepped up. Other guys are continuing to improve and can need to continue to improve, to be honest with you. But I think up to this point, we've stayed pretty healthy. Got a lot of in-game work. Yeah, I think the summer helps you a lot now, what you're able to do in the summer. So the packages, you're so much further along from an install standpoint than normal, which allows you to be able to focus on some other teams throughout fall camp to kind of get ready for the fall. So I think up to this point, you know, I think the kids have worked extremely hard. I think it's a really good group. I think they're tough. I think they're competitive. I think they love football. We're not where we need to be yet, but I think that you're seeing the flashes. You know, I think the biggest thing for us right now is the consistency in their performance isn't where it needs to be. And I think most games are lost, not won. And, you know, we're coming off of a scrimmage on Sunday to where you go through those 19 drives, you know, whether it was an explosive play on offense or a negative yardage play on defense, it wasn't because it was a contested play. It was because it was a bust or a mistake. So those are the things right now that we really got to clean up, you know, before we play a really good Louisville team.
Something that I've heard you say a lot is you have to find guys that love football and not what football can do for them. How do you sniff that out?
You know, I think that's really big on how you talk to recruits. I think when you bring them in from an official visit standpoint, I mean, it's not the old school whining and dining and putting them up in the best hotels and the best restaurants. I mean, we grind them and we put them in through a lot of football intelligence meetings and go through their tape and installs and make them regurgitate it to us and, you know, get them around our players. So I think a lot of it's how you recruit them, to be honest with you. You know, I think a lot of times you don't really try to find that out. You know, you're just trying to win the recruiting battle, you know, and win signing day instead of really feeling out, is the kid a good fit for us? Is he a good fit for our team? And I think if you don't incorporate your current roster into that, I think that's really hard, because I could have a perspective of who the kid is from a football standpoint, but I still think he's got a gel in the locker room. And I think that, you know, this group that we brought in for the most part has been able to do that.
Earlier, I had a chance to visit with John Wayne Oliver as part of this conversation, and he pointed to that, the adversity that the team faced last year, at the end of last year, as a contention point that allowed them to come together. You've referenced that before as well, that you've got a team that seems to really like each other. Is that something that you guys as coaches emphasize and they're responding to, or is that more of an organic thing that the players have to do themselves?
I think it's a combination of both, but I also think, you know, it's who you put in there. And so, like, when I'm talking about them being together and playing together and enjoy competing with each other, it's not that they got to listen to the same music or they wear the same clothes or they go to the same restaurants. Like to me, that's not it. You know, it's the, like, I've got the same goals and aspirations and I invest the same and it means the same to me. And it's about winning football games regardless of my role. So I think it's more mentality, you know, and a little bit of personality, but much more mentality than actual personality. And I think the guys respect when guys come in and work their ass off and realize they got two ears and one mouth for a reason and come in and figure it out and work their butt off. And when their opportunity comes, take advantage of it. So I think we have more of those guys than not. And I think our returners respect that.
Speaking of returners, you've got one of the most high-profile ones in all of college football. The flags are all over town. He's getting put on Heisman lists and all these things. How do you think that your quarterback has responded to, I mean, just the intense amount of attention that he is receiving going into this season?
you know, I think he's taken it in stride. I mean, obviously the good thing was he had a heck of a year last year and he got a lot of that attention going into the playoffs, you know, so he's had to go into the Sugar Bowl games with the spotlight on him and still have to play at a high level, in which he did. You know, but he's a unique dude. You know, I think he keeps his focus where it needs to be. You know, he knows this is a what have you done for me lately sport. And those same guys that put him on, you know, Heisman hopefuls and all that will be the first ones to burn his ass down, too. So he knows he's got to put that work in, and he knows he needs to have a really good year. And that's just sticking to the process and getting coached by Joe Judge and JDB and, you know, operating our offense and continue to be a really good dude, which he has been.
And I have a feeling I know what the answer to this is going to be, but you were ranked preseason number 9. How much do you care about that?
Ranked number 9 in what?
In the AP poll, preseason number 9.
Oh, you know, I think all the preseason stuff, to be honest with you, I think it goes back to last year's team's legacy. And I think, you know, I think that team, right, earned, right, the right for us to be where we are now. Just like these players that played really good years last year and had exceptional years are on potential, right, Heismans and Biletnikoffs and all those different awards. I mean, that's based on last year. And I think you go back and historically look at the preseason top 25 and look at the playoffs, and it don't look the same. And so I think this group understands that, you know, that we got to go out and make sure that we're ranked where we're ranked at the end of the year, not the beginning of the year. And that's by going out and preparing really well and practicing really well and playing really well. So I think that's an honor to last year's team and the culture that's been created over the last 3 years of them being in it at the end. But this group knows they've got to build their own legacy, and right now we're 0-0.
You mentioned them a second ago. Your season opener, also a team that is starting the season ranked, a really well-coached and good Louisville program. Have you guys started preparation for that game, and what do you know so far about your week one opponent?
Yeah, and hey, they're a really talented football team. You know, I think it's really helped us, you know, to where, you know, they beat the team that, you know, we played last, and we did not win the game. And so, you know, I think from January on, you know, they realize that we're playing a really, really good football team that, you know, if they didn't lose the one possession games that they were up in the fourth quarter last year, they would have been in the playoffs. And Coach Brohm does an exceptional job. I think they have an elite running back. So they got really, really good players, brought in a really good quarterback that's got experience from Ohio State, and he's a dual threat guy. So we know this is like opening up with an SEC team and on neutral site, and with a coach with a lot of experience. So they're definitely not getting overlooked. I think training camp early is about learning our packages, you know, and realizing like we've got to get our stuff down and we got to execute at a high level regardless who we're playing. But then also you're building in periods really without them knowing, to be honest with you, all right, to start working on some things that are potentially going to come up in the first game, because you don't want your focus to go on that too early. They're going to get our undivided attention, and we'll go through a mock game week and do all those type of things. But, you know, right now we're trying to make camp about us and us focused on the attention to detail and doing things right and performing a little more consistently and playing championship football. So they're definitely have our full attention. We did some in the spring. We did some in the summer as a staff, as you always do everywhere I've ever been. And then you obviously build in and sprinkle in some group teaches as you go. And you just really don't let the players know, to be honest with you.
I'm a big NFL fan. I'm a Saints fan. I watch the league every Sunday. Head coaches calling plays is very normal in the NFL. And in fact, when you hire a coordinator, you expect them to. Media jokers like me make a lot out of head coaches in college calling plays. What did you learn about yourself having to do both in those three playoff games that allowed you to continue to do that this season?
Well, I know what you shouldn't do for a couple times, but no, I think it was a really good learning experience because you get so used to your point of doing it a certain way, you know, because you don't have other responsibilities, and it's really trying to figure out, okay, who within the building can handle some of those other ones, and, you know, what were you doing on defense that you also have somebody in the building that can do, and maybe you can't go sit on the bench in between drives like you used to, and little things like that, so... You know, I've talked to a lot of guys that have done it at this level because it is a little different, you know, not only in game, but more importantly, you know, when you're not in game from the recruiting component of it and how you watch all the tape and how you're still, you know, managing the offense, you know, to a somewhat of a degree. So I kind of banged, you know, a lot of different ideas off of guys that have done it. But definitely, you know, going through those three games has helped me as far as in-game operation of time management and things like that, and then kind of how to handle when's the offense out compared to when the defense is out. So, you know, having those three games, I think will really help going into game one.
All right, that is part one of my conversation with the Ole Miss head football coach. Like I told you, my software will not allow me to play videos longer than 10 minutes, so I had to cut them up. Here, right now, is part number two of my conversation with Ole Miss head football coach Pete Golding.
And how much do you lean on? So you've got three, by my count, maybe more, former head coaches, one at the D2 level, one at the FBS level, one at the NFL level. How much do you bounce off of those guys in particular who have been a head coach, run programs at three different levels?
Yeah, a lot. You know, I mean, we try to use everybody in the building. I'm really specific on, you know, the hiring process, no different than an offense or defensive depth chart. You know, they got to be able to complement what you already have in the building and what value do they bring. So definitely have a lot of sit downs with a lot of those guys, you know, from a scheduling standpoint, from a recruiting standpoint, from ideas, and all those things. And, you know, the good thing about a lot of them, if some of them had success doing it and some of them haven't. And that's, I think sometimes you learn from your biggest failures, at least, you know, looking at it. So really fortunate to have a lot of guys that have had that experience, you know, sitting in the chair I'm at that are open and aren't yes sir guys that are going to come in and voice their opinion, which, you know, they were told, you know, from the very beginning, you know, this is something that, hey, come in, shut the door, let's get it right, you know, and all our jobs are on the line week in and week out. So let's make sure we're doing everything that we need to. So I really appreciate those guys for sure.
We've seen a lot of your defensive line play already in their current uniforms. Your linebacker room is basically all new, but they have played a lot of football. What do we need to know about Thomas and Ferrelli and the other guys in that linebacker room?
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of by design, what we do defensively is we try to kind of make the ball go east and west, and you want to be able to have erasers at the second level that can play sideline to sideline. And I think, you know, those two guys are long. They got speed. But they're really good trackers and finishing on the ball carrier. And I think that's something that we definitely have to have in this system and in this league. And it's really nice when they've already had experience doing it at this level. And that's what I love about those two. They don't panic. There's not a lot of anxiety there. They've adjusted to the system, having them in the spring and the summer. You know, it's like that you've had them for a while by this point. So I really like those two. I think Tajay Butler's had an elite spring and elite fall camp as well. Another guy that you're talking about that's got college experience at the position. And then we got some of those young guys that I think are developing and coming along. So really excited about, you know, those three being able to rotate. I think they would all start at any SEC school they went to be very productive because they got some good players in front of them.
You've done a handful of press conferences already, interviews and all that. Is there a player that you have yet to be asked about at all that we should be asking you about?
I think there's a couple of guys that are going to be elite players and have really good years that I've not been asked about. Yeah.
Who would those be, or do you want to keep them a secret?
You didn't ask me. No, I mean, I think one to me, you know, that I think is a really good football player. He's still getting better. He's got to continue to get better. But I think Edwin Joseph is as good of a defensive back that I've been around in a long time. He's got a lot of versatility, very quick twitched. He's got a knack for the football. But a lot of those transfer DBs, I think, will, you know, people will know who they are. They've got real ability. And then, you know, I think we've added some elite pass rushers as well. You know, I think y'all have talked to a couple of those guys. But, you know, I think the depth up front and the rotation, I think you're going to hear a lot of names, you know, from the front this year. And then we got to continue to improve in the back end. And they are. But I do think, you know, nobody's ever asked me about Edwin, who I think, you know, he reminds me of somebody I've coached before, and I'm not going to say his name.
All right, off the field, what is on the Pete Golding playlist when you're listening to music?
Oh, my God, off the field music. So I do have, like, I think Braxton or Billy, one of my boys helped me with, like, a little playlist or whatever. I'm not a big playlist guy, but I got my little Pete Sunrise when I get up in the morning. But, like, on that one's, like, all country, man. It's Eric Church. It's Morgan Wallen. It's all country. It's just slow, chill, get me started. I enjoy that type of music.
So you've got tickets to Ella Langley coming up then is what I'm hearing.
I do not. I think it's a pretty busy week, bro.
Just a few things going on in Oxford. you brought up your kids. What do they think about dad, the head coach?
I mean, obviously they love more access, right? And, you know, and they love when Ken walks by, they get more gear and stuff like that. But, you know, they've always been super involved, you know, since we've come over here. You know, Coach Kiffin, I was really appreciative of that. He allowed them to be around a lot and all those type of things, you know. And it's nice during camp because you kind of alternate. We go AM day and then we do a PM day. So they could come to the practices at night and all that because once we get in the season, you know, we practice while they're in school. But I would say the access to it more than anything. They really enjoy being up here and not feeling like they're in the way and all those type of things. So they're high on the hog right now.
I don't imagine you have much time between being a dad and being a head coach, but when you want to completely unwind, disconnect, I'm not doing anything football related, what do you do?
Like not football. I'm a golfer, man. Like I enjoy getting out like on a golf course out in the middle of nowhere around some good dudes you enjoy being around because you're still competing, right? You still keep score. There's other things you can do while you play golf as well. But I enjoy being out in nature, man, and still competing. So my thing, you know, man, is dad, is ball. And then to me, if I have some time, it's either golfing with my kids or fishing, probably, to be honest with you.
So have you and Jeff Lebby played again? I heard that at Media Days. Is that true that you and the Mississippi State head coach have played golf together? And if so, who's better?
There might have been an emergency nine at Waverly, you know. I'll let you ask him that question. See what happened that day. It was, you know, it was one game, you know, so you'd hate to see it. You know, big sample size, but I think the Rebs came on top that day.
Oh, I hear you. Well, Coach, I'll let you go. I really appreciate your time this afternoon. I know it's a busy time, and we wish you best of luck this season, and hopefully we'll catch up again down the line.
Awesome. Appreciate the job you do, man.
That's Ole Miss head coach Pete Golding.
Hope you guys enjoyed that conversation with Pete Golding. Really impressive stuff there all around. Little just what's going to happen for the rest of the week on this feed. So we have the Not Fall Camp Tour. Keith Carter joined us. That conversation I'll put on this feed as well. It's already on the Super Sports Talk Mississippi podcast feed. Obviously, it aired on the 12 stations today. But I'll bring that to you here as well. My conversation with John Wayne Oliver was a really fun one. I will bring that to you guys on this feed as well. Chris Malloy, I'll put on this feed, the Ole Miss golf coach. That'll be here also. So a lot is coming your way this week. And Thursday will be a recorded, not a live show, recorded, because Hey Dad and I will be all the way down on the coast for the show on Thursday at Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College. Long freaking day, and we'll not be back in time in order to do a live stream, but I will have one of those will be recorded for you, placed in here, boom, ready to go. So you'll have something on Thursday. So bear with me on that, but it was a really great, I thought it was a great show today and a lot of great conversations and stuff that you're going to want to hear. And so that's coming your way right here on this feed as well. But in the meantime, Logan Smith Shelter Insurance, 601-823-3500, 601-823-3500. For auto, home, life, or business insurance, he'll take care of you. Auto, home, life, or business insurance. Priority One Bank, to make you their priority every day with 16 locations, local loan servicing and decision making, and more. Bank with me, switch and bank at Priority One Bank, and also Advantage Business Systems for all of your Mississippi office technology needs, absms.com. Him bringing up Edwin Joseph is something that we've talked about that some this offseason anyway, but it's something that I keep going back to, that Ole Miss lacked depth in spots on defense. It was clearly a defense that was not as well funded as they think this one's is. But last season, Miami was able to get them for a couple of reasons. The line of scrimmage, Miami was better than Ole Miss on the line of scrimmage, especially after Kewon Lacy went out with an injury, and also Andrew Jones, that made the front six even more difficult. But Ole Miss didn't have enough playable depth on defense in particular. They think they have that this year up front. We'll see. But one of the biggest things that very well could have been the difference in winning and losing that game was Miami was able to convert a lot of third downs. And a lot of that was because Ole Miss was fine at safety, but not good, not great. They were fine. They were adequate. They did some nice things, and they were nice players, and they could get you to the semifinal, but they didn't have elite. And hearing him talk about Edwin Joseph like that is something that Ole Miss needs him to be, because that kind of a player is the difference between making the semifinal and winning the semifinal was being better at safety, because how many third downs was Miami able to convert in that game that with better safety play they don't? You know what I mean? So that Aguero from Georgia is another guy to pay attention to, a safety transfer. They need those guys to be what they can be. And Aguero's done it in the SEC, obviously, at Georgia and done well. But that was something that stood out to me. The Lebby golf thing is really funny. At least I think so, anyway. And really overall conversation. Does this mean he's going to win more games or lose more games? No, it's just what it is. But what I really enjoy about getting to talk to Pete Golding is, man, he's truly listening to the questions he gets asked and is truly providing an answer to them. It's nice. It's refreshing. It makes, you know, media's job easier when you've got a coach that gets behind a podium or gets into an interview setting and is like that. He's really likable in that setting. There's absolutely no doubt about it. It's no surprise that players really liked and want to play for him. That's not a surprise at all. So some of your messages, we'll get to some of those. I know that there was a scrimmage on Sunday, and there's a lot of talk about what the offensive line possibly did. Forgive my cynicism, I'll believe it when I see it mode. I am very much buying Terrez Davis. Like, I'm full-on bought on him based on what everybody has said about him, from coaches to players and all that stuff. The other tackle, this guy had a good scrimmage. This guy had a good scrimmage. I'm not discrediting that. I'm not saying that didn't happen. I'm in wait and see mode on that position. I'll see that, when the games get played and not a second sooner. Again, it's not a knock on anything. It's just, there was a lot of ground to make up in that spot. And I don't think all of the issues just disappear because of one scrimmage, although apparently some nice things have been happening lately. So anyway, hope you had a good day. I had a great day, man. It's always good to get up to Oxford. I lived there for 4 years. The going to school there shaped my life in ways. So I'm very thankful for the time I spent there, because I have my job because of Ole Miss, and I have everything I have in life directly or indirectly because of the time I spent there. So of course, you know, I've got a soft spot for it. But it's the vibes were great. The town, I mean, it just looks good. It's I tell people this, that it, for those of you that, you know, grew up in Mississippi going to Ole Miss games and like you haven't branched out much, and there's nothing wrong with it, just you haven't seen many other college towns and all that, you don't realize how lucky you've got it with where you ended up there. It's a pretty great place, man. And I had a great day. Long day, but I had a great day for sure. Good to see you from Pascagoula. I think so. We'll be down in your direction, but I don't think you'll actually physically be able to come see us. We'll see. Last time Mississippi Gulf Coast had us posted up in their basketball arena with the arena like in the background, and it was kind of like a private room. It wasn't like a come see us type deal. But if that changes, I'll certainly let you know. Come by and see us if you feel like it. Manny does such a good job with interviews. He really does. Gotta love PG. It does crack me up that the players and the coaches refer to each other that way. Like, you know, Trinidad Chambliss, PG, JDB, right? But Pete Golding refers to John David Baker as JDB as well. It's a lot more, it's different, and I don't think it's a bad thing at all. Rebs came out on top that day, something the previous head coach would have never said. Well, I don't think Kiffin's much of a golfer, but I don't think that some Mississippi State fans appreciated the fact that was talked about at media days, that they played golf together one time, nine holes. The poorly kept secret in college sports is these coaches generally like each other and know each other, and just because they have jobs at rivals doesn't necessarily mean they don't like each other. The Hugh Freeze, Dan Mullen thing was more unique than commonplace. So sounds like Deuce Knight has had a couple of good practices. It would be really helpful Brandon, for Ole Miss, if they don't have to go into the portal for next year's quarterback, that helps a ton financially, continuity wise, and otherwise. If QB1 for 27 is already on the roster, that's a great thing. And I think it would be ideal in many respects for the program if that is in fact the case. So that is good news. Wonder who Edwin Joseph reminds him of. Gosh, if he has a good year and I get the chance to ask it again, I'll see if he remembers and bring that up. When the head coach sincerely says he appreciates the job you do, that's really good stuff. It really is. And, it's kind of goofy, right? This is going to come off kind of weird, but it validates you a little bit, even though, coaches come and go. There are people that cover teams and programs for a lot longer than coaches stay there. And all that. So I get that. But when you get a genuine response back, we talk all the time about Pete Golding. When he does great things, we'll tell everybody that's willing to listen to us about how great it is. But to get that reciprocated, it does feel good. I'd be lying if I said that didn't feel good when that happens. So if he doesn't work out as a head coach, hope they can still have him as DC. Wish they would have kept Matt Luke as an offensive line coach. Well, that last part, there's personal things there that would have prevented that from ever being a thing. But you obviously don't want it not to work out, but you've seen it twice now in college football. At Virginia Tech, their head coach that had just been fired actually stayed on to be the DC for James Franklin's staff, which is crazy. I think it's cool, but it's kind of crazy. And then, of course, Zach Arnett, didn't stay at Mississippi State, but got fired and is already back at Mississippi State. So that's becoming a little bit more common. Hope they never experience it, but I bet he still gives good insight after losses as well. I think you might even get more out of him after losses, to be honest with you. You say he doesn't seem like the type of coach who will just make excuses and feel bad for himself. No, not at all. I have not gotten that vibe yet. Now, that's also after they haven't lost a regular season game yet. But, man, even after they lost to Miami, go listen to him after the Miami game. And that was still in a spot where there was so much going on. He wasn't as, polished maybe as he is now already. But, there wasn't any of that after they lost to Miami. And I don't think you're going to get any of that moving forward at all. Can't lie, a couple months ago, you were very skeptical about the DBs, but this past month, you've done a complete 180. Think it will be one of the higher-ranked DB units in the conference. So, like, the cornerback position, I don't know if they have, like, a true, like, top 15 pick. Maybe Crawford. But it seems like they've got a lot of depth and, like, really, like, playable, like, quality depth, not just guys that exist. Because people use the word depth, I think, the correct way, but the wrong way. Because, well, they've got depth at cornerback. Well, they've got, five guys that they're going to play. Well, okay, but how good actually are they? Because if you have five guys that can play, but they all kind of suck, well, then you don't have quality depth. So that's what they're chasing, quality depth. I think they have that really across the board defensively. By the way, Tajay, I've been saying his name incorrectly the whole time, the linebacker transfer from Georgia Tech. Tajay, not Taj, but Tajay Butler. Thanks, Pete Golding, for that. But linebacker was one position I'm slightly concerned about depth-wise if there's an injury or two. But, man, it really does. I mean, they've portaled well, but they retained well. That's the most important thing. You can portal well all day long, but you've got to keep the guys that you want to keep. And defensively, I mean, look at what they were able to do. You guys already know it all, but, I mean, they bring in Crawford from the portal. They bring in a Florida transfer from the portal. And the two DBs that they wanted to keep stayed, despite the fact that they're going to have to fight for their own job this offseason. That's a big deal. You know, that's what separates a championship team from a good team, is not just getting a good portal class, but it's retaining the players. By and large, it's the portal era. You never keep everybody. But they were able to do that. Will this be a top five defense in the SEC? I think
it has a real chance to be that. Too many people around the program are talking about it in such a way. They obviously spent more, right? The quality of player that they got via transfer portal on defense is better than the quality of player that they got last year, not only from the schools that they're coming from, but what they've put on the field and experience to this point in their career, even if not at Ole Miss, is it's different. But it is. It is. It's a really different talent ceiling and pool of depth. There's two metaphors for you that they have on this defense compared to last year. There's absolutely no doubt about it. A lot of people are trying to make comparisons to 24. I got to see that. But before I start telling you that they're going to be the best defense in college football that has the highest sack rate and TFL rate and all that, I'm not going there. But I certainly do think it's going to be, I mean, personnel-wise, on paper, it's a lot better than what they had a season ago defensively. So we'll see if they can live up to that hype. So really appreciate Pete Golding, Kyle, and Brad in the SID office for setting that up for me. That was really good stuff. The radio audience really appreciated that, and I hope you guys did as well. So I'll have something for you tomorrow right here on this feed. Won't be live. And then again, Thursday, Hey Dad and I will be on the coast for the radio show. Will not get back in time to do this, but I will have something for you. It'll either be I've got John Wayne Oliver, Keith Carter, Chris Malloy, Javon Patterson, all that coming your way right here on this feed at some point. So just be on the lookout. Make sure you subscribe, hit the notification bell, do all those things so you know when the videos get posted. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe, and you won't miss any of that either. I really appreciate you guys. I will see you tomorrow. Not live, but I'll still see you tomorrow. You guys have a good night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.